Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. 2011 started with, among other events, thousands of red-winged blackbirds plummeting from the sky in Arkansas. It fell to scientists in Madison to figure out what caused the phenomenon, but the blackbird case was just a drop in the bucket for the National Wildlife Health Center. It averages 600 cases in a year's time, meaning the lab sees up to as many as 1,800 animals, from amphibians to mammals and small reptiles. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz toured the lab where one of the hottest areas of research, white nose syndrome, has killed over a million bats since 2008.
On the wintry day, I motored over to the National Wildlife Health Center, a short drive west of the state capital. Scientists there were still dealing with the Arkansas blackbird die-off. Branch Chief Scott Wright is a former marine mammal pathologist. He's delighted to talk about something other than blackbirds, like the fact that the center is a branch of the U.S. Geological Survey and is the only federal institution dedicated exclusively to wildlife health research. He says its strength lies in the collaboration between experienced pathologists, diagnosticians, and other researchers.
It's a very excellent model. Works really well. And the big advantage is that we're all right here in one spot, so that's really helpful too.
Wright joined the center 10 years ago. He says a number of researchers here have been at it for more than 30. The animals that come through the lab come from far and wide, from the Midwest to the marine environment.
We're not so much whales and dolphins and that sort of thing. They're kind of hard to get in the door, but we have sea otters that come in. That's probably the one marine mammal we work the most with.
We make our way down the hallway. This is a no-frills facility. Wright says funds are funneled into pulling together top-notch researchers and the equipment they need to get the job done.
These are offices for folks. Our field investigation team and different people, our different scientists have their offices up here.
Okay.
Let's go down here. Down these steps.
Below ground is the necropsy lab. That's where they do the animal version of an autopsy. Wright says every investigation starts here.
They're operating in what's called a BSL-3 necropsy suite that allows them to be protected themselves, but also protect what they're working on. For example, the air that comes into this room is filtered under a HEPA filter, which takes out extremely very, very small particles before the air even comes into the room.
Inside the sealed lab, Wright points out work that pathologist Dr. David Green is doing on a great egret shipped in from the Everglades. But he says Green's specialty is actually aquatic animals.
Because we're a national center and get frogs and tadpoles and so forth from all over the country, he has a very good perspective on what's going on in amphibian populations, wild amphibian populations in the United States. And he gets every spring, you know, he starts getting little boxes full of polywogs and whatnot, and he gets crickets to keep things alive, and drives everybody nuts because the crickets get out.
We swing back upstairs, where Scott Wright says diagnostic teams work their magic. This is where the leading work is being done on a fungus called Geomyces destructans, or white nose syndrome, which threatens millions of bats in the United States and Canada. Wright describes what the investigators are up against.
One of the challenges that they faced was that when you typically get a sample in that's a bacteria or a fungus, you're used to incubating it at certain temperatures in order to get it to grow and facilitate its growth, actually, and then you identify it. This particular fungus is a cold-loving. It only grows at very cold temperatures. And so that became a problem initially because the reports that we had were people were finding bats with white fuzzy stuff on their faces. But when we got the bats, the fungus was gone because the bats had warmed up. And so it was real. It was like, what's going on here? And it took some thinking and sort of thinking outside the box. And they started thinking, where do bats live? They live in really cold caves. Well, maybe we should lower the temperature, put it in the refrigerator and see what happens. And lo and behold, it started to grow. So little things like that pop up that can make a big difference of whether or not you're going to be successful or not. So that's kind of the stuff they do in here.
A series of twists and turns delivers us to a door on which a handmade sign reads, "Bats Command the Night Sky." Meet Dr. David S. Blehert.
So is the white nose syndrome your biggest moment thus far?
I think so. Yeah, it's amounted in, you know, we've gotten made a lot of discoveries, published numerous papers, and...
And now your work is continuing.
Right.
I was told now you're looking for another animal that you can work with to get further.
So we're doing a number of things. We're trying to better understand how the fungus persists in the environment. The environment largely likely plays a large role in the ecology of the disease. It's not just that animals and fungus exist in a vacuum, but it's an interaction between the animals, their environment, and the pathogen. We're trying to better understand why the fungus is so detrimental to these animals. You, myself, and bats for that matter, all live in an environment that's full of microorganisms and fungal spores, and some of our work has shown that there's a previously unknown diversity of fungi that are very closely related to this particular pathogenic one that we've discovered. And so that begs the question is, what's unique about Geomyces destructans, the bat white nose syndrome fungus, that makes it so much nastier than all of the other fungi that these bats have presumably coexisted with for millions of years? And we're working to develop better diagnostic techniques to explore these avenues, as well as develop better model systems to study the disease, because we don't always want to be going into caves and collecting bats and disrupting hibernating bats and, you know, affecting the very resource that we're trying to better understand.
So you came up with those findings within months, is that right?
Well, I need to emphasize, too, it's not just me. We have a large group of people that were involved here. Our pathologists were instrumentally involved. There was a pathologist from the state of New York who is now at the Wisconsin Vet Diagnostic Lab at the UW campus, Melissa Baer, who is instrumental in the discovery. Woman coming down the hall right behind you, Carol Mattire, is the one who described and defined the pathology of the disease, which basically serves as the basis for understanding the disease.
There's a sense of excited urgency in this small space. Blehert says there aren't enough hours in the day to push his work ahead. About half his time goes to bat research. I ask what he'd be doing if I hadn't barged into his office.
What would I be doing? I think actually analyzing lab data.
Maybe in the lab.
Yeah, or on this computer.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've got one column started.
Let's see. Or is that secret?
No, that's not secret.
What do you got going there?
Not very far along. This is actually just trying to better plot different growth rates of the fungus that causes white nose syndrome at different temperatures. That's going into a manuscript that I'm working on right now.
Blehert's temperature experiments are still underway. He says his white nose syndrome work, like most research, is a slow but steady process. Since we met, the presence of white nose syndrome was confirmed in bat caves in southern Indiana. It has not turned up in Wisconsin yet. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
Susan Bentz is WUWM's environmental reporter. She produced our piece on the National Wildlife Health Center in Madison. There's a link to more on white nose syndrome from WUWM.com/lake effect. We'll take a short break now, and in just a moment, hear about a Milwaukee woman's role in helping a Cold War refusenik emigrate from the Soviet Union. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.